Today I would like to talk about what Buddhists has taught to us about our happiness, what duties we have to ourselves for our well-being and happiness. Buddha said there are four duties that we owe to ourselves to make ourselves happy. The first one, he said, is the skillfulness, efficiency, earnestness, and energy. That is Uttana Sampada. What Buddha is saying is in life, as we perform our duties, we need to have our efficiency. Efficiency comes from the fact that it's related to the skillfulness. To have the skill, we need to have our training, learning aspects where we try to improve ourselves, going more trainings and trying to practice on our skills, and the anticipation of what can happen in life, like getting an education. Once you work, then you try to improve your skills and be diligent and put right effort and right mindfulness and, you know, right concentration. If you pursue this skill, you'll become very skillful. Once you have this skillfulness, your efficiency increases as well. So with the increased efficiency, you already have eliminated a lot of stress, because there are times that we can't meet the deadlines, we can't finish in time due to this, due to that, and we have enormous stress about these things. So with these skillfulness and efficiency, we can avoid a lot of stress, and life is not an easy thing. It's very difficult at times. We have to perform what is required. And then the earnestness is the once we have the efficiency, we can perform our task fairly efficiently and fairly quickly. Then we will have some time. Then when there are people who need help, if we can, we try to help in a Buddhist mental structure. And also what is needed to be done, we initiate it. We assess ourselves, can I do it? And if we are able to do it, with this initiation, you know, earnestness, we perform it. So, you know, in our job and in our task that we do, we are not only skillful, efficient, we are also very helpful, and we are very initiative. And we need to do all these things. We need energy to do all these things. And since we are rightfully concentrated and mindful and putting proper effort into it, we have a lot of energy. When we lack energy only when we are stressed and when we are bogged down and we don't know where to go and what to do, then it can be a real you become very, very, you know, helpless and in a situation like trapped in a corner, you know, you don't know what to do. And it accumulates, and then suddenly it becomes a mess, and we are in a very a desperate situation. So to get on top of it, we need to put right effort into it, put proper effort, you know, it's an investment. If you need to stay back a bit, stay back a bit. If you need to go a bit early, go a bit early. If you need to take homework, take homework, not expecting anything, but to build your life, to be on top of it, to have this skillfulness, efficiency, earnestness, and energy. When you are on top of it, you find that you have a lot of energy. So this Buddha said, you know, it's your duty to have these things so that your life will be happy, be more smoother, has less difficulties. The other one Buddha says is the wealth that we have earned, that we have accumulated, to protect it from being stolen and to be lost in natural disasters. Things like that, araka sampada, that's what Buddha say. I don't know what they do in their Buddhist time, but nowadays what we can do is we can take insurances, we can somehow use common sense, not leaving the doors open or putting screens on the doors and this and that, not to walk isolated areas, etc. You know, these we can do in modern days. So to protect the wealth that we have rightfully earned, and not to be taken away by people. You know, try to be alert and try to be skillful in this way. The third one, Buddha says, Kalyana Mitteta, that is the to have reliable friends, good friends, friends that lead you to happiness, that friends that wouldn't desert you when you are when you need them, and friends that you know, would prevent you from doing all these evil and unwholesome things, and treat you as if it's their own, you know, interest. So these are the reliable friends, and Kalyana Mitta, you need to find them. For example, in churches, you can find the priest and the people there who are very good, you know, can guide you through your life. And if you're a Buddhist, there are monks and nuns and, you know, very good lay people. And if you're a, you know, any other religion, you have these people who are very wise and who you can rely on, as well as in the circle of your friends, you can find them. And if you have friends like this, then your life is much more smoother, and these friends are the friends that wouldn't harm you, not backstab you, isn't it? And nowadays, if you look at the real situation, you know, people are, you know, all, you know, messed up, and, you know, stealing each other's wives, each other's husbands. You can't even trust them anymore. So to socialize, to you know, have a, you know, association with these people who are not mindful, people who are very shallow, will have only the negative side. There's no plus side at all. So to find good friends is very important in life, not only in good times but also in times of needs. So Buddha said, we need to have some sort of reliable friends. And the fourth one Buddha said is the samajivikata, that is the in life that we have all these you know, extravagant things that we do, competing with the Joneses, you know. Buddha said to spend what you have within your budget with reasonable sort of a restraint. Not to, you know, just waste the money, because you earn it right with the right livelihood. That sort of, you know, earning you have, you protect it by spending within your budget and spending reasonably. And, you know, nowadays, if you look at it, we can see that if somebody got a better mobile phone, then, you know, you want similar one or a better one. That's a greed, hatred and delusion is at the bottom of everything. So Buddhism is, in a sense, is looking at these as they are and not being tempted and not being sucked into it by using this wisdom and meditation practice. Because when the mind is weak, even though you know it, the mind cannot carry that task out because it has no strength, no capacity, no power. So we need to develop this mind to be able to follow this Buddhist teaching of these four duties to ourselves. The power of the mind cannot be underestimated. About a year or two ago, I think, I come across this West Australian newspaper. There was this man from a Eastern Soviet bloc, I think from Ukraine or something like that, a big man, like a giant, all the muscles and everything, and he has these weightlifting outfits and those big boots and everything. He was pulling this 5-ton truck, a meter, which you can see the muscles coming out, a big man, a giant. And underneath was this Chinaman with his soft kung fu shoes, pulling this 10-ton train 5 meters with his ears. So I'm a very cynical person, come to these things. I wouldn't believe it easily, but it's in the newspaper and I saw it, and then, you know, there, the photographs there. So assume that that is correct. The other one is about last year, I think, this a girl about 14 years old, I think. She's a Vietnamese girl, I think, martial arts training. She was putting the spear to her throat, the sharp end, and the rod is on the floor against something, and then she was bending it, and this rod was, you know, this stick was bending like this. No matter how blunt the sharp part is, isn't it? It's just flesh and bone. It can just go in. So the training of the mind, you know, it's the body is protected like that. So this mind aspects, we cannot just, you know, write it off. There is something there. This is what I heard, so I don't really know whether it's true or not. This old man, oldish man, I should say, in Singapore, this Chinaman, not that strong or anything, with the, you know, London's double-decker buses, one of them just, you know, driving over him. That's what I've heard, you know. And you think about it, you know, just the body is just rib cages and flesh and bone, and it's not steel cages. So how strong they can be, isn't it? But when the mind is involved, and if you go to Asia, in Singapore, in Malaysia, you can see these in the Hindu ceremonies, people are walking on these charcoal, you know, red hot charcoal, and then they parade in the city with big needles, you know, going through the nose and eyes and everywhere in the skin, and, you know, spikes everywhere. They're walking there, there's no blood there. You know, so the mind, when it is controlled and trained, can be very powerful. So what we have now, all these suffering we have through stress, depression, through unskillful performance at work, these stresses and everything, we can overcome them by this meditation, through this wisdom, strengthening the mind, and then understanding life as they are and where they originate from. By living this way, you can see where it is coming from, and you can prevent it, and you can see it. So, you know, the pain and the suffering eventually subsides by itself by knowing the principle of the pain and suffering. So I offer this to you today. I hope you can use it in your daily life. And if there is any questions, please ask. Otherwise, have a very nice day.